Mr. Finchley Takes the Road by Victor Canning. Adapted for radio by Andy and Eric Merriman. Episode 3, in which Mr. Finchley acquires a costly companion, brings home the bacon, and in which Church Warden is present but not correct on parade.
In there.
Mind your
manners.
Go on.
Stand there. Quick work, men. Port another poacher, eh? By Victoria, what is the country coming to? Well, sir, what have you to say for yourself?
I should like to know whether you're responsible for these men's actions. I've been brutally assaulted by them and dragged here against my will. This is a free country, and I resent the way that I've been treated.
Boy, has caught him red-handed, sir. Rabbit still warm in one hand, pocket full of snares in the other. It's true, isn't it, Gage?
True as I stand here, Ernie.
Hear that, sir? Don't want any highfalutin talk from you about rights. I know how to deal with poachers.
I am not a poacher. I found the rabbit in the snare.
Oh, yes, and how about the snares in your pocket?
Ah, well, I...
Speak up, sir, don't stutter. Are they yours?
Yes, they are. But
don't give me any buts.
But you can
away from here to nowhere, but that won't do you any good with me. Stealing me rabbits, eh? Steal me pheasants, too, if you got the chance.
That's right.
And a man who steals other people's pheasants would just as soon come into your house, cut the throats of everyone there, and make off with the silver.
I beg your pardon, but I've never cut a throat in my life. Look, you're making a big mistake. If you'll only listen to me, I can explain.
Explain? Explain nothing. Plain as a pipestaff. You're a poacher, and you can't talk your way out of that, not with me. By Victoria, I'd like to have had you in my regiment for a while. I'd have driven all that nonsense out of your head.
Oh, for goodness sake, stop acting like an overgrown schoolboy, like a spoiled child. I've a perfectly reasonable explanation, and yet you refuse to listen to me.
Listen to you?
The trouble with you is you've been given too much authority and too much respect all your life. Too many of your types in this world, and it's time you realized your proper place is in a comic opera.
What? By this... Tolia!
No! By Gilbert and Sullivan!
Whoa.
Now look! Whoa. I'm not going to stay anymore because I shall probably lose my temper. All I ask is that you either release me at once, making a proper apology, or that you call a policeman.
Oh, of course, the first time I ever heard anyone say the likes of that.
You will have a policeman. I'll have you before the bench tomorrow. Until then, you can cool your heels and that... Tum of yours in my sportship.
Here, quick, guys, we better get him out of here or the Colonel will be reaching for his sabre.
Right. Take him away before I run him through.
Hurry up.
You can't lock me up like this. It's against the law of the land. I will sue you for false imprisonment.
Yeah, not Colonel Greatrich, you won't. The British Council will do as he says.
That's right,
guys. And the Colonel often uses his shed as a lock-up because there ain't one in the village.
There you go.
Come on,
get in
there. Lock her up, guys, lock her up.
Look, you can't do this to me. You can't do it. You can't do it. It's illegal. Now, calm down, Edgar. Guard yourself. Count it down. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Yeah. That's better. Who's there?
Welcome, my friend, to the black hole of Calcutta. So, somebody else has been crossing swords with the Colonel. Were you poaching his rabbits, too?
I was supposed to have been. Where are you?
5 paces forward, 2 to the left, and there's a large truss of straw on the floor against the wall. I found it very comfortable. There's room for 2.
Is there a light?
Well, I found an old candle stump. We shall want that later, so we'll save it. What do you mean, supposed to have been poaching? Weren't you?
No, I wasn't. It was all a mistake. The Colonel's men came across me with a snare in one hand, a rabbit in the other, and for some reason they assumed I was poaching.
Oh?
Colonel, indeed. I told him. I told him he was an overgrown schoolboy.
I said almost the same thing to the old boy. Told him not to be so mean with his rabbits, a damned old feudal relic. Mind you, I had been poaching them. One of these days his kind will have a nasty shock. Greedy, intolerant, obstinate old curs. No damn right to shove us in here at all.
Quiet.
Absolutely illegal, as you must know.
Well, he'll get away with it. The sympathy and power of the law will be all on his side. Only he won't get away with it. Not this time.
What do you mean?
Because before he can do anything, we'll get away. When it gets dark, we'll break out of here in no time. We'll be miles away before dawn comes up.
Will we? Oh, I'm glad I met you. What's your name? Mine's Finchley.
Marshall. Tom Marshall.
Oh.
So, you're Finchley, eh? Sounds a solid sort of name. Did you ever think much about cauliflowers?
Cauliflower?
Yes. Ever since I've been in here, I've been thinking about cauliflowers. It's just come to me that it's ages since I tasted cauliflowers. I often think about food. Which do you like best with roast mutton? Onion sauce or red currant jelly?
Onion sauce, I think.
So do I.
It's Sunday tomorrow. Back in my caravan, I've got a leg of mutton and fresh vegetables.
Oh.
I was going to cook them and have a real Sunday lunch. I don't know what'll happen now. This poaching business has upset things. I'm worried about my horse and caravan, too.
Roast mutton, eh? Look, tell you what. If I get you out of here within the next hour, will you let me share that meal?
What about the Colonel?
Ah, to hell with him. He can get his own lunch. Besides, you don't think that addle-brained brass hat can get between me and roast mutton, do you? We can get out of here and with your caravan be 10 miles away by morning.
How'd you propose to get out?
I'll show you. Now we'll light the candle.
Ah, there you are. How'd you do?
Hello. Now, where's my jackknife? Ah, that was lucky that I was almost an architect once. You see, this place is built in an old style. Timber framework filled up with lath and plasterwork. Now, behind this plaster, there's a small cavity. Beyond that, we have the outer plasterwork. Yes, it shouldn't take too long.
Making a lot of dust, don't you worry. You'll soon be breathing fresh air.
Give me one of those logs.
Right. There you are.
Now, we must be ready to get out quickly, because this is going to make some noise. Stand by.
I'm ready.
Good. Now, here goes. Come on. Through the hole, quickly.
I'm right behind you. A bit of a tight squeeze.
Let's run for it. Into the shrubbery. That'll give us some cover until we get to the road.
Finchley and Marshall were free. Having reached the caravan, they hitched up Churchwarden and drove for 3 hours under the polished blaze of stars. It was almost dawn when they drew off the road and stopped the caravan in a small copse that sheltered a dark patch of water. The two men climbed wearily into their bunks and slept soundly. When Mr. Finchley awoke, it was broad daylight, and in the distance, church bells were ringing.
Damn those bells.
Oh, you're awake then?
Yes, just having a pipe. Ran out of tobacco, so I borrowed some of yours. Hope you don't mind.
Oh, not at all.
No, I thought you wouldn't. What about that roast mutton, eh?
I haven't forgotten it.
Neither have I. Dreamt about it. Look, it's late. What do you say if we call breakfast off and begin right away with lunch?
All right. I'd better get up and start cooking.
I think I'll just lie here. Let me know when it's ready.
Perhaps you'd like me to ring a bell.
Look, let me ask you something. How is it that a man of your type comes to be moving about in a caravan?
I'm travelling around Kent, looking for a retirement home for my wife and Robert. That's my son.
Oh, well, then you could do with an architect when looking at houses. Remember I told you I was as good as an architect? What do you say if we join forces? I'm going as far as Canterbury. We could travel together, and in return for shelter and food, I'll give you the benefit of my advice on the houses you look at on the way. Ever think of the things that can be wrong with a house?
Well, I don't know. I never really...
That's fixed, then. You'll not regret it. Ever think about beds? We spend over a third of our life in bed, in oblivion. Warm, comfortable oblivion. If I was a poet, I'd write about beds. Some scope there.
I suggest you leave the one you're in and get ready.
You're right. Never eat in bed. Spoils the food and disturbs the bed. Right. Oh, that lake looks inviting. Yes, nothing like a dip to rouse the appetite. Here we go!
Oh, dear.
He's frightening all the wildlife.
It was after lunch that Mr. Finchley made his first big mistake. By doing all the washing up and allowing Marshall to sleep, he established a custom, a tradition, which Tom Marshall maintained from that day. Marshall had a grand capacity for lassitude, which swamped all his other vices. Mr. Finchley began to feel real alarm when Marshall started to say things like,
"Don't worry. In time we shall find the perfect house. Our house. The one we dream about."
Or sometimes,
"I feel like a smoke. Have you seen your tobacco anywhere?"
Or even,
"Isn't it time you washed some of our shirts?"
And so forth. Somehow, he was always able to justify his existence.
"No, that house wasn't any good. When I jumped on the floorboards, they sagged under my weight."
"Oh.
Cheer up. Something will turn up. Oh, what about those steaks we bought? I tell you, you were lucky to meet up with me. Like ships in the night.
It's no good.
Most people miss one another.
I must get rid of him.
And now and then, two people meet.
I'm not going to be settled with him for the rest of my trip.
Begins to shine.
Or for the rest of my life."
"Good. At least you've come to your senses. Now, what are you going to do?"
"I don't know. But, I'll think of something."
They were travelling along a quiet country road, having visited a farmhouse which Marshall had sworn would probably fall down before they left it, when they came to a village. As they drove down the main street, a white banner floated over their heads, proclaiming that today was the day of the village fete.
"Shall we stop and have a look?"
"All right, might as well. I'm sure a church warden could do the rest. Well, boy.
I suppose it'll be the usual sort of thing."
"Yeah.
Come on, gentlemen. Have a go at the button guessing. Quickly, you've just got time. It's very exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you pay sixpence and guess the number in the bottle, and then if you're right, there's a mystery prize. You will have a go, won't you?"
"Of course we will. Won't we, Finchley?"
Yes, of course, I suppose.
We'll
yes.
both have a
oh.
go. Now, you give me that bottle, miss."
"Well, what do you say?"
"1,607.
"Oh, nonsense. That's far too many."
We'll see.
"That will be sixpence, please."
"Pay the young lady a shilling, and then you can have your guess."
"What? Oh, of course, yes. Here you are."
"Oh, thank you, sir."
"Now, let me see. I'd say about 987.
"Never."
"Well, didn't you notice that most of the buttons are very large?"
"We'll see."
"Thank you, gentlemen. I'll make a note of those. The correct number will be announced by the vicar any moment now."
"Well, thank you, my dear. May I say what a lovely dress you're wearing?"
"Oh, thank you. I made it myself."
"Did you? Talented as well as pretty."
"Oh, sir."
"And those flowers on your hat, are they real? Or is it the delicious perfume you're wearing?"
"Of course they're real. Any fool can see that."
All right, Mr. Finchley.
Well, I must be getting along now. Goodbye, gentlemen."
"Goodbye. Maybe we'll meet up later, huh?" "Have you ever thought about women, Finchley? About the various kinds of women and how much we men... Oh, not another bell."
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Quiet, please. Thank you all for coming and for spending so liberally. The total profit from the fair will be read out in the notices in church on Sunday morning, so you'll just have to come along. Yeah. Now, for a few announcements, in the pickling competition, Mrs. Tattersall has once again walked off with first prize, but she didn't get far. Yeah. Congratulations, Mrs. Tattersall.
Well done. Yeah.
The best floral arrangement was judged to have been by Mrs. Philpott. And now for the button-guessing competition. I just had the results handed to me. Oh, there was a record entry for this. No one got the right number, but one person guessed to within two of the correct number. The total number of buttons was 985... And so the first prize goes to the gentleman, a Mr. Finchley, who estimated 987. Will Mr. Finchley please step forward?
Go on. That's you.
What? Oh, yes. Here I am.
That's coming this way. This way.
Mr. Finchley.
Yes.
Good. My congratulations, sir. Can we have the prize, please, Ephraim? Thank you. Here you are, Mr. Finchley. She's all yours.
Good gracious, it's a pig.
Yes.
Well, thank you. Very much.
Well done.
Come on, little one.
What are we going to do with her?
Well, keep her, of course. Can't just leave her here. I want her.
Oh, no. You can't carry a pig around with you all the time.
Well, she's got to come with us for the time being. I shall call her Ella.
In Pete's name, why?
Well, for no reason. It sounds just the right kind of name for her. Ella. Yes, I think I like it.
No, you're talking nonsense, Finchley.
Here we are.
Oh. So. Cheers.
Cheers.
Look, it's no good, old boy. You haven't considered all aspects of the pig question. I like animals, but you can't keep them in a caravan. Our caravan isn't big enough. You've got to get rid of her.
But I want to keep her in my caravan. I might soon find the house I'm looking for, and then I could have her in a sty in the orchard.
But it might be ages before we find our house.
My house?
No. The pig must go. It's impractical.
I won't sell her.
No need to sell it, old boy. No need at all. Here. Feel that blade. Ever think of knives? They sharpen pencils. They carve wood. And this one helped us to escape from the old colonel, didn't it? Well, it'll also help us to escape from Ella. Tell you what. Tomorrow morning, we'll have a sacrifice. I'll cut her throat. No longer pig. No longer a problem. Just pork. Now, pork isn't a problem. Ever think of roast pork and apple sauce, of crisp brown crackling?
It was the last straw. Mr. Finchley was not going to allow that to happen. Marshall had to go. And like all apparently invincible men, he had his Achilles heel. Finchley knew what it was. The next morning, Marshall did not wake until 11 o'clock. And long before that, Finchley was up and active. When Marshall awoke, it was to see Mr. Finchley sitting on the doorstep, smoking his pipe and peeling potatoes.
Oh, my word, it's late. Oh, must have taken a little too much last night.
Yes, possibly. I didn't disturb you because I've been busy. Been thinking over this pig business.
Oh?
Well, I think you're right. While you were asleep this morning, I walked back to the village. I saw the butcher there, and he's coming out this afternoon to take the pig. I couldn't kill him myself and eat as you suggested.
Of course not, old boy. I'm glad you're seeing the right thing to do. What are you doing now?
Oh, preparing lunch.
Ah.
I thought that, well, as the butcher wouldn't be here till this afternoon, we'd take the opportunity of having a good meal. I made a few purchases while I was in the village. What do you say?
Excellent.
But first, I want you to hear the menu. I'm going to start with some julienne soup. Then we're going to have lamb cutlets, 2 for me and 3 for you, served with succulent new potatoes and fried tomatoes. I've also bought some rough cider to wash it down. Then for pudding, there's peaches and cream. The climax will be some thick black coffee and a glass or two of fiery brandy from my private store.
Oh, Finchley, you're a genius. Oh, what a meal.
For 3 meals a week like that, I'd sell my soul to the devil.
It was good, wasn't it?
Good?
Good is a mild word. There's no word to describe it. I'm full, gloriously, happily, sleepily, and completely full.
Oh, I must go out and have a snooze under the hedge. Wake me when that butcher arrives. I'll see he doesn't cheat us over the price of Ella. Poor Ella. So soon to be... Oh, no. No, I mustn't say that. No. Too much respect for your feelings. See you later, Finchley.
Righto, Marshal. Sleep well.
I could do the snooze myself, but I must keep awake. Marshal? 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 God. Now there's no time to lose. Come on, Ella. Shush! Shush! Now come on, Churchwarden. No noise from you either. We must get away.
Ever thought about being abandoned, Mr. Marshal? Well done, Finchley. For the next 3 hours, Mr. Finchley kept Churchwarden hard at it. He was torn between two desires, to get as far away from Marshall as he could, and his own craving for sleep, which lay heavily on him. At times he dozed for a second. Gradually he dropped into a sort of wakeful stupor, but eventually he slept. Meanwhile, Churchwarden had become bored. He was bored with caravanning, bored with the heat and the flies and the petrol fumes. He himself needed to get away from it all. Then suddenly, there came the sound of a brass band. Churchwarden pricked one ear forward, and the music sounded louder. His heart took a quicker beat, and he caught sight of brightly coloured uniforms, the yellow glitter of instruments, and the movement of men. It was too much for Churchwarden.
Oi, you! Where do you think you're going? This is a parade ground. Come back here!
What? What was that? What's happening? Whoa, Churchwarden, stop!
What the devil's going on here?
Oh, and us wants to join the army. Give him a chance to see the world.
Churchwarden, will you stop? You're causing chaos.
Take that contraption out of here at once, sir. Buy me foil, I'll have you for this.
Oh, Lord, it's him. Churchwarden, what have you done? Please, stop.
Look out.
Get out of the way.
He's coming straight for us.
Look out, drummer.
Speak!
What's that? Keep going in the middle of my parade! Get it out of here! Get that pig away from my horse!
Loose! The colonel's come a cropper!
Where is he? Where is that fellow in the caravan? By Victoria!
Oh dear! You'd better not stop now, Churchwarden! Forget what I said! Carry on, quickly! Through that gate!
Where's Miss Sable? Come back here!
Ignore him, Churchwarden! Keep going, fast as you can! There's half a pound of sugar in it for you!
Finchley got as far away as he could, but then heard a loud metallic noise in front of him. Churchwarden's escapade had caused him to loosen a shoe. Well, there could be no more travelling today. And so he spent the night on a small piece of waste ground at the side of an unfrequented road. You may want to know what happened to Ella. No, she didn't have to face a firing squad. In fact, at this moment, she's nestling in the safe arms of a burly sergeant major, and I wouldn't be surprised if, in due course, she isn't made the regimental mascot. The following morning, after having taken Churchwarden to a blacksmith, Mr. Finchley went back to his caravan and spent the rest of the day quietly reading and writing letters. As he was sitting on the back step after his supper, smoking a last pipe before turning in, a man came clumping up the road towards him.
Good evening, sir.
Good evening.
Do you like peas?
I do.
Hate Manny'd say no to that question. Here. Here's a picking for you from my garden.
Oh.
Do you live in the caravan all year round, sir?
No, I'm sort of on a holiday.
You'll be from the town.
That's right.
Maybe that was one of your friends that come along this morning.
This morning?
Yeah, just after you took the horse off. I was working in the field opposite when I heard the car draw up.
Car?
A tall gentleman got out and knocked on your door. He didn't see me, but I watched him. Knocked several times, he did. Then he tried the doors and the windows.
Really?
I was coming across to tell him that I'd seen you go off, but he went away before I could get here. I had an idea he saw me coming.
He wasn't wearing a military uniform, was he?
Oh, no.
I don't know who that might be.
Well, I thought you'd like to know about it in case you've been expecting someone.
Thank you.
Well, I best be going now. Cheerio.
Goodbye. Oh, and thanks for the peas. I wonder who that could have been. And what is it about this caravan that everyone's so interested in?
Are you talking to me?
Well, I wasn't really, but now that you're here, what do you know about all this?
Nothing.
Nothing?
No, absolutely nothing, I'm afraid.
Oh, you're a great help. I was hoping, being the narrator, you might be able to explain things a bit.
Oh, not me. I'm sorry. You'll just have to wait until the next episode.
Well,
in episode 3 of Mr. Finchley Takes the Road by Victor Canning, the part of Mr. Finchley was played by Richard Griffiths. Ronald Fraser was the Colonel. Joe Melia, Tom Marshall. Chris Emmett, Garge and the Labourer. John Glover, Ernie and the Vicar. And Susie Brann was the young woman. The narrator was James Villers. Mr. Finchley Takes the Road was adapted for radio by Andy and Eric Merriman, and the producer was Gareth Edwards.